Okay, in some conversations that took place during the break, I had a little sense of maybe a point or two that has to be elaborated on. We talked a little bit about the lure of this world and the distractions that compete with the learning, with the chinuch system, with the Torah that we're trying to inspire and educate and uplift our Talmidim with. And I think that we may not be adept enough at recognizing what the danger really is and how it's possible to cope with that danger. So I'd like to just repeat two things that I mentioned in private here to a few individuals, which I think are relevant to that. Number one, I don't know if that's the pshat in the brocha. I don't know, certainly, if it's the only pshat in the brocha. But I have a question. In Birchas HaTorah, we say, V'harev no Hashem alikeinu estivrei seirosko befinu ufi amcha beis Yisrael. We don't mention our children. It doesn't say, V'harev no Hashem alikeinu estivrei seirosko befinu ufi tzetzoeinu ufi amcha beis Yisrael, ufi tzetzoe amcha beis Yisrael. Then we say, V'nihyeh anachnu v'tzetzoeinu v'tzetzoe amcha beis Yisrael, kulonu yoydei shemecho v'loim di terosecho lishmo. Why don't we mention the tefillah that it should be v'harevno b'fi tzetzoeinu? And I thought that maybe the pshat is that if the Torah is so pleasant to us, then we don't even have to ask. It's a little bit stretching it, but it's memela. If our children, if our talmidim see the extent to which this Torah excites us, they see the passion, they see the exuberance, they see the excitement, they say, wow, I never saw something like this. Then that has the power of it has a whole different hashkafa. And I think that there's a tangential point to this as well. Don't be spoiled with the attractions that they have out there. Yes, they claim to be very attracted. Yes, they are temporarily attracted. But one of the greatest brochos of our generation is the extent of the gashmius and the attraction at the earliest age. What? You think I'm out of my mind? How can I make such a statement? It's ridiculous. It's not true. Why? Amol, it used to be that you had to reach your 60s before you realize, as this world and this world, Snishtoken Grace Glicken. What's the big deal? By the time you're 60 already, you realize, until 60, I was trying to make it. I'm trying to make a living. I'm trying to make a little nest egg. I'm trying to accomplish. I'm trying to this. I'm trying to that. By the time I'm 60, it's tutve over here and over here and over here. And before you know it, it's. And today, our teenagers have experienced and are aware of more than our grandparents ever dreamt of in the entirety of their life. There's so much, so fast, so young. And the good news is that at a much earlier age, they're fed up. And they realize, Nishtokin Groise Glicken, this world. How many movies, and how many video games, and how many Chveis Nishvos that they can engage in before at some time they wake up and say, doesn't really do it for me. So we should not overestimate the power of the enemy. The enemy is powerful. The enemy is pervasive. But don't be spoiled from the enemy. Because the enemy has its own enemy. And that's the fact that after a while they come to the realization at a very young age that it's not really doing anything for them. And that's where we come in. When we offer something that's real, that's meaningful, if we can articulate and point out the difference, we can make a very, very big impact. And let me give you an example of something that I've done which sometimes resonates with some people. You ask a person, in your memory, in the last month, tell me about a meal or a physical, material pleasure that you enjoyed immensely, and how much pleasure you have from it now, and some act of great chesed, some spiritual, something really meaningful that you did to help someone, to save someone, to teach someone, to something that was really choshev, and what pleasure you have from it now. And ask the question. Think honestly, answer honestly. No one can say that from the steak dinner, and I don't know what people like today, that I had a month ago, I have any hanoah whatsoever today. Maybe I have a memory of a pleasant experience at most. And that requires, it's only a memory, it's a vague memory, and it requires remembering to benefit me in any way, and the only benefit is a faint memory of a pleasure gone by. That's all I have. Now this act, I helped this person, I saved this person, I did such a chesed, this beaming with smiles, and wow. That's something that's real, that's meaningful. Every time I think about it, I feel good. Look what I did. I feel good about myself. It validates me. It makes me happy. It uplifts me. I feel good about it. Look what I accomplished. Look what I did. So one youngster once asked me a question, and it took me like, he said, yeah, but you have to think of that too. It's not natural. You have to think, when you think about that little old lady that you helped or whatever you did, then you're going to have a hanoah. You're going to have pleasure, you're going to be happy. But you have to think about it. Without thinking about it, it doesn't do anything for you. But it's not true. You know why? Because if it's a pleasure, not something that makes me feel good about myself, then all it could be is a vague memory. But if in this act that I did, I elevated my sense of validation. I took myself from a 2 to a 3, from a 3 to a 4, from a 4 to a 6. That remains forever. And even when I don't think about the act, I am now living at a higher level. I am now, I'm a 6, I'm a 7. I feel better about myself. That feeling remains. That feeling is there whether you think about it or not. You've transformed yourself into a more validated human being to continue living on that level beyond continually, unless you ruin it by going down again. Now, not everybody can chop this, but we have to appreciate it, and we can convey it to Talmidim. They can understand meaningful, elevating, validating, lasting validation versus temporary things that are not very that don't leave anything whatsoever. So, just thought that's an important point to mention. I want to talk a little. Actually, I want to do two things now. I want to talk for a few minutes about tefillah and bitochen and hashkocha pratis, because those are very 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 basic concepts. And then I would like to, with your permission. I have here a list of what I composed. I call it, it's 27 major goals of chinuch. I'd like to run through some of them with you. I'd like to distribute it. I apologize for not distributing before, but I learned from many long years of experience that the minute you distribute written material, you might as well step down, because the attention is on the written material and not on the speaker. So I hold that to the end. And then there's one volume I want to give out to everyone. We have copies for everybody here. And there's another one which, unfortunately, because I was too lazy to schlep it from New York and we had it printed here in Toronto, it didn't come on time. So I'm going to have to find a way to have it delivered to the moisters, to be able to get everyone to it. I'll talk a little bit about that. So a few minutes about this, and then we'll do that, and then Be'ez Hashem we will conclude. Okay. Tefillah. Tefillah is a critical element of the chinuch process. First of all, we spoke about relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah is an essential ingredient in that relationship. The Rav, Rabbi Lowy, just mentioned today after I spoke at Shalosh Shudas, he says that Rav Aaron Kotler used to say, "Venich daven ich reitzum Rebbeinu Shalaylam. Venich lern the Rebbeinu Shalaylam red sumir." So, when I daven, I talk to Hashem. Hashem talks back too. He does communicate. The Torah is the eternal communication geared to each, every individual. Everybody can find his directive there. There's a story that they tell. Just going to have a little fun now for a moment and see what happens. A story that they tell about this pastor, or one of his parishioners, was a very wealthy man. He sees him on the street, and his car broke down. He's driving some old, dilapidated car, and a flat tire, and nothing, no chauffeur, all by himself, And what happened? He says, my business is in big trouble. I don't know what to do. I'm falling apart. So he says to him, go home and open up the Bible, and you'll see. You'll get the message what you're supposed to do. A couple months later, he sees him. He's again with the chauffeur, with the limo, with everything is fine. So he says, oh, great, what happened? He says, I took your advice. I went home, I opened up the Bible. What did it open up to? And I tried this joke once in Canada before, and it opened up to chapter 11. Nobody knew what that was, because you guys don't have chapter 11. That's bankruptcy. Anyway, but Lemaisa, the Torah gives everybody its directive in life. When we follow Halacha, Chazal say, Chochem Odif Minovi. What's the Tzushtel? Chochem to Anovi? Anovi tells me the future. Anovi tells me what I have to do. Through Anovi, I know what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants from me. Chochem Odif Minovi. The Teretz is through the Chochem and through the Chochmas HaTorah, it's Ke'ilo, the Rebbeinu Shalom is directing me, the individual, by speaking to the Chochem, by learning the Halacha, by living by the Halacha, by acting according to the Halacha, by not compromising the Halacha, even by telling the Rebbeinu Shalom, Eini Yochol, because I have a Chiyuv of Akoras HaTorah and I can't listen right now. That's also part of the Halachic complex. And when I do that, I have the directives and the guidance as to how to live my life. So when I speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He does respond. He responded at Har Sinai, and there's a personal response for everyone. And every time I live my life according to Halacha, I face an issue and I do what's right instead of compromising the Halacha. I am following the Rebbeinu Shalom's directives, and He is guiding me and responding to my tefillos of the good life and how I should accomplish and how I should get where I want to get. And He's giving me that direction. So that's very important that they understand that He does communicate. But it communicates to us with another way as well. And I think it's critical that we understand that. And that is Hashgacha Pratis. Hashgacha Pratis is the basis of an ongoing, in fact, I would say it's an example of the Tchilas Knisas Odom Le'umnes She'osid Lamadbo. What do I mean? Why is it the Tchilas Knisas? Because it's like this. Introduce a man to Hashgacha Pratis, and he will see it in his life on a tov teglecha basis. He'll see it every day. It surrounds him. It surrounds all of us. We have to open our eyes. We have to be educated to open our eyes to realize that this is what we see. I had once the experience many years ago of speaking about Bitochen and Hashgacha Pratis at a seminar on the West Coast. And 6 months later, I came back and gave a lecture. It was like a follow-up to this seminar. And a young man walks over to me and he says, I must talk to you. I got to tell you. He says, I went to the seminar. I heard your lecture about Bitochen, Hashgacha Pratis, Hashem is involved in our lives. And it excited me very much. I went home And my mother had a serious problem. My mother was a single parent, and she had to marry off my sister that week, at the end of the week, and she was short $15,000 for the chasana. And she didn't know what to do. And she was ois mensch. And I told her, I says, you know, I just wasn't a religious kid at the time. He says, I just learned about this bitochen thing. If you trust Hashem, He takes care of it. He does everything. He gets involved in our lives. He cares even about the little things. And you just got to trust Him and trust Him and trust Him. I don't know if she bought it. She didn't buy it. But He gave her this whole lecture. Because the next day, she had a little business. She sold costume jewelry. Costume jewelry, I guess, $15, $20 for a piece of jewelry. Cheap stuff. A woman comes in, irate a customer. This is the fifth time that the clasp, whatever it's called, broke, and I don't want this piece of jewelry anymore. You fixed it each time, it keeps on breaking. Take it back, give me my $20 back. I had enough of this nonsense. Okay. She needed $15,000 that week. The $20 wasn't going to make her or break her. But she was very curious as to why this it kept on breaking. So she goes to her jeweler, and she asks him to, he looks, he takes out his thing, he looks, he says, I'll give you $15,000 for this piece right now. It wasn't costume jewelry. It was the real thing. And she had her $15,000 that she needed for the chasana. And this kid told me, he says, if I hadn't known about this concept of Hashem getting involved, I don't believe it would have happened. And if it would have happened, I wouldn't even notice it. And you have no idea of the extent of what the awareness to the Hashgachas Hashem can bring about in discovering in our own lives how much He is in fact involved. And therefore, I would say that we must introduce our Talmidim, the Hashgacha Protis, and that will serve as the Tchilas Knisas. It'll be the beginning of the Knisa that they will be able to enter more and more and more into this world of seeing Hashgacha Protis, because they'll see it in every aspect of their existence. It's around us, it surrounds us, it's all around us, it's constant, it's endless. We just have to open our eyes to see it. And I remember once, many, many years ago, in one of the schools, we did a contest of the best personal or family Hashgacha Protis story is going to get. This was like 30 years ago. I remember many years ago. Win $100. It was a lot of money at the time. And everybody was excited about it. $100, story, personal story, family story. This one young guy, today they call him at risk or off the derech. In those days, they referred to it as the yeshiva bum. You know, they had yeshiva bums. This guy was one of those guys. Wonderful guy, but he wasn't too interested in anything that was going on. But he got very excited about this opportunity, and he brought in a story, and he won. The story was that in 1944, when the Nazis were about to invade Budapest, his grandparents and their children had to make a decision to hide or to run. And they decided that they have to run. The hiding was too dangerous. The problem was they didn't have transit visas. So they were able to travel, but they couldn't go from Hungary to the next country because you needed a transit visa. But they decided they're getting on the train anyway, and they're going. Fine. They get to the border, and the train stops, and the border guards come in to check everybody's papers. And he's walking closer and closer and closer to their compartment where they were sitting. Then all of a sudden, as he approaches their compartment, an old man with a long white beard, that's what they told me because I interviewed the uncles just to make sure the story wasn't made up. You know, before I give away $100, you want to make sure that it's real. And I interviewed, and they say, an old man with a long white beard sits down next to them. The border guard comes by. The old man takes out his papers, shows the border guard. The border guard looks at the papers, looks at the family, gives the old man his papers back. The border guard went on, the old man disappeared, and the whole family is alive and well today to tell the story. This story changed his life because the Ribbono Shel Olam is involved in my life. I am alive today. He was the child of one of those brothers. I am involved, I am alive today because of Hashem's involvement in such a strange and unbelievable way in my life. And once they see that, they look for more and they will find more and they will realize that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the Shomea Tefillah. How many times does he answer us even before we ask? It's prepared, the Hashgacha was prepared from way before in order to answer us, despite the fact that we didn't know anything about it. So we have to educate the Hashgacha Pratis. We also have to educate to the power of tefillah. I found over the years that many people are afraid to talk about the power of tefillah. They have this concern that, well, if I teach about it, the kids may do it and it won't help. It does help. Sometimes the answer is, I don't like what they say, it's no. Sometimes the answer is not now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaveh l'tefilosan shel tzadikim, lo mun sakro ho'imohis. Sarah had to daven for 90 years until she had a child. But that was for her benefit. That was because that elevated her higher and higher and higher. And they have to realize that it doesn't mean automatically. It doesn't mean immediately. But tefillah helps. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is Shomea Tefillah. Chazal say tefillah oisa machtzo. And they have to believe. The Chayodim writes, and I think it's something we should tell our Talmidim, that at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, before you step back, in whatever language you speak, ask for something personal, whatever it may be. And that's, he says, Saloshin, like, the whole tefillah then becomes meaningful. It's like no longer a tefillah's keva, it's a tefillah's tachanunim, something, I haven't seen it for a long time. But some such loshin, because this is real, this is what I want. And nothing is too petty to ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for. Nothing. You have a test. You want a new bicycle. You want a new whatever it may be. Nothing. Hashem wants everything. And if you want to see the extent to which the Rebbeinu Shel Olam goes, and I think it's a good lesson on many levels too, to have an appreciation of the yachas that he has with us and the love and the chesed, the hatova that he does for us, I ask you, what's the pshat in the Mishnah? Asei ritzoyno ikir tzoynecho. Do the Rotzen Hashem on that lofty level of Kirtzoynecho, as if it was your Rotzen. That's a very high level. My Rotzen, it's as if his Rotzen, it's as if his Rotzen is my personal Rotzen. That's cheap. I'm going to reach this highest level of doing Ritzoyne Kirtzoynecho today, that he should do my little petty rotzoin as if it was his rotzoin. What's he does? And I believe the pshat is very simple. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants to give us everything that we desire. The Olam Chesed Yibone, the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to give us, to satisfy every lechol chai rotzoin. Whatever we desire, that's what he wants to give us. The problem is, in the system that he created, there's mishpat, there's namadik isufa, there's the need for bereshis bara elokim, as we mentioned, that there has to be bederech mishpat, otherwise it's not a real chesed, otherwise you don't really appreciate it, otherwise you're embarrassed about it, otherwise you don't feel ownership of it, that I earned it, so it's not really mine, and it can't maximize the chesed. So he wants to maximize the chesed. So what does he say? You're not, if you're worthy of every petty little thing, you'll get it. If you're not worthy, what could you do? And sometimes even tefillah cannot give us that. At least not one tefillah. Sometimes many tefillahs. And sometimes we need something beyond tefillah, which we'll talk about in a moment. So what do we have to do? There's a system, and the terminology is my own, but the concept is Das Torah. There's an entitlement system in Torah. You know what an entitlement is? An entitlement is something I deserve, but I didn't earn. I deserve because I fall into a certain category. I'm sure there are entitlements here. I'm not sure what entitlements you are. I heard some remez to it in the beginning introduction. And an entitlement, as the pshat is, I deserve it because I fit this category, but I don't earn it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a system to give us beyond what we deserve with an entitlement program. The entitlement program, one of the entitlement programs is entitled Mido Keneged Mido. Aseh Ritzoynei Kirtzoynecho Kedei She'yaseh Ritzoyncho Kirtzoynoi, that even though you didn't deserve to get this petty little thing that you want, Kifi Yod Darga in Yerushalayim and Avodas Hashem, but if you do Ritzoynoi Kirtzoynecho, then Mido Keneged Mido, you will be entitled to get Ritzoyncho Kirtzoynoi. So Agav, we see that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is involved in everything. He wants to give us every pleasure. He has a system, however, and sometimes if we deserve it, we'll get it. And if we don't, tefillah sometimes elevates us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu misavel tefillos shel tzaddikim, so we get closer and closer and closer. Sora needed 90 years to reach that level of closeness, to be roi, to be zeichet to that. You know, I once had a suggestion. Sora should have had a child at 60 and say halal for 40 years, for 30 years. That would have been 60 years. She would have had already many tefillos and many this. And then she could say halal and she would have had Yitzchok at an earlier age. But the emes is, and it's not nice to say about Sora, but on her level, what happens about halal versus need? The first day, we say the gans halal, maybe the first week. The next week, it's a halab halal. The third week, it's a hoidu. And by the fourth week, it's a shkoyach, and it's all over. Eino doime, the matzav of need, to the matzav of thanks. The matzav of hoidu doesn't evoke that passion, that connection with the Beirei Olam, as does a shas hatzorech. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam, in his infinite wisdom, had Sarah waiting 90 years that she should be Zeicha. Now, of course, that's not, we can't expect our children to wait 90 years, but they shouldn't think that they're going to have to. But they have to be mispowered again. In fact, every additional tefillah is a greater schus. Why? I was mispowered yesterday and he didn't answer me. And I come again to be mispowered. Oh, it's a shame, a mensch. And he didn't answer me again. And I came the next day, and the next day, we made the next tefillah three times that day. Each time it reaches a new level of elevation. But they have to know, and we have to know, and we have to believe, and we have to know b'emunah shleima, and we have to not be afraid to articulate this to our talmidim, because tefillah does work. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the shemeya tefillah. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the mekabel tefillahs. And the more that they get into it, the more they see, and the more they believe it, the more effective it is. And that brings me to one additional concept, and that is the concept of bitochin. Bitochin is a level that may emanate from tefillah and goes far above it. In the Avnei Eliyahu, in the Siddur HaGroh, he says that the shoresh of the word tefillah comes from the Rashi in last week's parsha, where Yaakov says to Yosef, "Re'oi ponecho loy pilolti." The Loshem pilolti, Rashi says, is loy melo'ani libi lachshoif. I never allowed my heart to think optimistically, to fill my heart with this hope that I would ever see you again. And tefillah is this positive type of machshova that a person has that it's an optimism. I'm turning to Hashem. When I turn to Hashem, I praise Hashem. Praise Hashem, certainly not for his benefit, as we mentioned. It's for my benefit. I recognize, he's Kel, Agodel, Lagibra, he's Melech, Uizer, Moshia, Umogen, he's Mechalkel, Chaim, Mechesed, he's Micho, Moicho, Umi, Doimelo. And that gives me that inspiration. And through the tefillah, I become more reliant. I say, HaToiv kiloi cholu rachamecho. His rachamim is never withheld. V'hamerachim kiloi samol chasodecho. His chesed never ends. If his rachamim is never withheld, and his chesed never ends, me'yoylam kivino loch, avada. I hope to him I have that bitochem, because I know his constant molei chesed v'rachamim. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh writes in Parshas Beshalach, when Moshe Rabbeinu is standing, Paro is coming from one side, the Yamsuf is the other side, and the wild animals, he says, are on both sides. And Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the Rabbeinu Shalom and says, help. And Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Ma titzak elai? Daber el b'nei Yisroel v'yisol. Fret the Yorachayim, Ma titzak elai? To whom should I cry? What kind of question is that? Ma titzak elai? So he says that there was some kitrik on the Klal Yisroel, based what they did in Mitzrayim, whatever. And he says, and Tfilo couldn't work over here. But Dabar el b'nei Yisroel v'yisol emuna bitochoin have a koyach even beyond Tfilo. Beyond Tfilo, the power of that emuna and that bitochon that you show, we trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going into the Yamsuf and we're not afraid. That'll make all the difference. That can help beyond the koyach of Tfilo. And it's very important that they realize that there is such a koyach. There's an amazing me'iri in Brochus on the Mishnah where it says, Atzeik l'shov arezu tefila shov. Hoyo called smocha b'yir, the Mishnah says. It comes in, he hears there's a tragedy, there's a fire in the city. Because my have a if it's burning, it's burning, it's a tefila shov. Zok the Gemara, tonu rabbonon, ma'ise b'ilal azokin. Shehoye bo baderech, v'shoma kol tzvocho, v'omar, botuach ani she'en zeh b'toich beisi. And the Gemara is matstik this bitochon with the posuk mishmor ro lo yiro, nocho libo b'toich b'ashem. Zok the Meiri, that he's not allowed to be mispalel, yehi rotzen shlo yehe b'toich beisi, because it's a tefila shob b'sheker. What should he do? Either he says he should be mispalel that they should get out alive, at least nothing should happen to them, the tzora is already, or he should be batuach shein zeh b'toich beisi. Tos heis, we're talking already about after the fact. It's burning, whatever happened, my dehava ave, he wasn't supposed to be mispalel, it's a tefila shov v'sheker. But he could still have bitochon. How that works, I don't know. The Rabbeinu Shlomo knows who's going to be the Baal bitochon, and he makes sure. To a Baal bitochon, the Meiri says the Loshon, HaBeiteach B'Hashem Ein Teicheles Sholei Nichsebo. This is a whole sugya, but I would like to suggest, Rabbi Yisai, the following. I have found, Hagam, as a state in the Rishonim, that Kol HaBeiteach Ma'amin, V'Lav Kol HaMa'amin Beiteach Shem Agora Machet. A Baal Bitochen has to be a Ma'amin, because if I don't believe in Hashem, I don't believe in His Hashkoch, I don't believe in His Chesed, I don't believe in His Koiches, then how can I trust Him, right? You can only trust one who wants and is and can and is capable and so forth. But I must tell you that I have found to people who claim to be avowed apikursim, when you talk to them about Bitochen b'Hashem, all of a sudden, they're looking, wow, where do I find it? How do you get it? How much does it cost? What can I do to get it? And the emuna all of a sudden starts to flourish. Because bitochon provides the ultimate motivation to want to be a ma'amin. The difficulty of a ma'amin, and a ma'amin is very difficult. A ma'amin, you know, a ma'amin for a goy to be a ma'amin is very simple. Because I had once a maisa, I was on a flight from Los Angeles to San Diego. It's like a 15-20 minute flight. So I get on, and there's a Midwestern couple there, goyim, and the elderly people say shalom. So I said, shalom, and I was waiting what their agenda was. Then they said, we support Israel. Israel belongs to the Jewish people. We know so because it says so in the Bible. And that was the end of the conversation. And I was wondering, what's very strange, you know. And then I thought to myself, I said, here you have these goyim, and maybe a billion like them. The Bible says, that's the emes. And unzere yidin nebuch are not so sure. Ostutzach. So I realized that there's a medrash. And forgive me, I know it's not very nice, I corrupted the medrash in the middle and with a joke. But it's late at night, so forgive me. The Medrash says that before the Rabbeinu Shalom gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he went to all the Umayis, and he said to them, you want to take my Torah? Maksibba. Loisirzach, sorry, we do that. Loisinov, sorry. Loisignov, sorry, not for us. Then he came to Klal Yisrael, you want to take my Torah? Well, that's the end of the Medrash. They asked, how much? How much does it cost? He said, it's for free. They said, we'll take two. And that's why we have, I don't see the luchos over here, but well, anyway, but so the pshat is like this. If it's for free, no problem. Ayid knows that the acceptance of Torah means responsibilities. He automatically inherits 613 problems. They're overwhelming. They're overwhelming. The Mechilta says by Anochi Hashem Elokecha Moshe LeMelech. If the Ramban brings the Mechilta, Moshe LeMelech Shebol Eir, and the people see and say Melech Gzeir Aleinu Gzeiros. Zok the Melech Imalchusi Iatem Mekablim Hech Tekaim Gzeirosai. First, you have to be Mekabel the Malchus, otherwise you won't be able to do my Gzeiros. I don't get it. They asked the Melech for Gzeiros. He says, no, I'm not giving you the Gzeiros. First, you're going to be Mekabel the Malchus without the Gzeiros. And then you'll be able to do the Gzeiros. If not, you won't be able to do it. We do that too. First, we say Kabbalos o Malchus Shemayim be'ahavo, v'yichabam Yisroel be'ahavo, Shema Yisroel, v'atus Hashem lo'ikecho. And only then, v'hoyim Shema, we talk about Kabbalos HaMitzvos. Kabbalos HaMitzvos is not easy. We should know that for our kids too. It's not easy. It's a burden. It's overwhelming. I didn't speak about, which I neglected to, pressure. Oy, they feel such pressure. The serious and smart ones feel more pressure. They're so sincere and they're so smart and they realize the consequences are so great that they're overwhelmed with the pressure. What do we do? The kids, we take it for granted. First of all, the adult generation, forgive me. This is also not to be taken seriously. We don't feel such pressure, not we, but the people out there don't feel such pressure because they get such an etzah, you know. We know how to compromise. I mean, present company excluded. But, you know, but the kid takes it so seriously. Everything the Rebbe says is kemoshe mipi agvura. And therefore, it's overwhelming. The pressure is enormous. So he feels that pressure. So first, there has to be a Kabbalah Sobachu Shemaim. Rashi says in Shir HaShirim that the reason the Hoyo Oilam Kedai Kiyoyim Shinitin Bo Shir HaShirim is Shekuloi Yira Shemaim Vekibul Ol Malchusoi. Anyone who studied any Shir HaShirim knows there isn't a word of Yira Shemaim or Kibul Ol Malchusoi in Shir HaShirim. Vos meint Rashi. The Teretz is Poshit. Yira Shemaim and Kibul Ol Malchusoi is built on love. That's what it's all about. It's very difficult. Without the love, without the Beicher B'Amo Yisrael B'Avo, without the Avo Rabo, without the Yoyev B'Amo Yisrael, I don't know if we could be Mekabel the Malchus Shamayim. It's Malchus Shamayim. The responsibility, the obligation, it's Neir V'Oyo, it's a Pachad. And a kid, a sensitive and intelligent one, feels the pachad so acutely, so intensely, and he doesn't know v'megitzach haneitzah, and you compromise a little here and a little there. He doesn't know about such things. It's overwhelming, and therefore it has to be so positive. Bitochin offers that. Bitochin says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to my trust. It's a relationship. It's a relationship where if I rely on Him, Habeitech Bashem Chesed Yisrael Venu Zogun Chazal Rabbi Machoy Vela Roshu Habeitech Bashem Chesed Yisrael Venu Afilo Roshu Habeitech Bashem Chesed Yisrael Venu. This is so important. It gives them such a sense of connection to the Bnei Yehudim and such a sense of confidence and emes, such a sense of control over their lives. Because there is something available to me. Now, it's not easy to achieve. And I dare say when we talk about bitochon, we always have to tell the story that's brought from I've heard it from Gedolim, from Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. Someone came to him and needed 10,000, whatever it was. And he said, buy a lottery ticket and have bitochon, you'll get it. And a few months go by and he doesn't win. He comes back to Rabbi Yisrael with a taina. And Rabbi Yisrael says, do you still have bitochon? You have bitochon? Yeah, 100% I have bitochon. Will you sell me the ticket for half, for 5,000? Avada? No. Who are you fooling? That's not real bitochen. So we have to be careful. It's not a joke. There's no bitochen button that you just press like this. No, it's the binachabal bitochen. It doesn't work that way. But they have to learn about it. It becomes, when it's developed, there's so many beautiful sforim today that deal with bitochen. When it's developed, It gives such a motivation to want to connect with the Rabbeinu Shalom. It gives such a motivation to an apikeres to want to believe in the Rabbeinu Shalom. And then the rest is simple because the case is so obvious. The only thing is you got to open your eyes. And to open your eyes, you have to have motivation. Bitochen is that motivation. That's something I think that's very important that we incorporate into our learning system as well. Okay, with your permission, I would just like to, and then I'm going to ask everybody to take a copy of this book over here. Let me tell you a little, little story about this book. It's something I wrote many years ago. It's called Torah Min HaShemayim. And one of my kids, when they were growing up, they got started using a computer, maybe a 13, 14-year-old kid. And so my son decided to make me stationery. And he saw a stationery, you have the name of the person, then his yeshiva, whatever it is, And then he noticed that they put Sforim, if he was Machaber of Sforim, he put, so my thing said, Shaya Cohen, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Zichron Aryeh, Mechaber Torah Min HaShemayim. So I just want you to know who you're talking to this evening, you know what I mean? Don't think that this is, Anyway, so let me explain this, and then we'll go over these goals, and then we'll call it an evening. This is something that we did many years ago, and the principle over here is as follows. Principle number one is, the parsha is a wonderful way of sending a message, because the parsha reduces the defense mechanisms. A rabbi gets up in shul like this. And he wants to talk about something. He knows a couple of his chevra did something this week. I'm sorry for pointing over there. Okay, a couple of his chevra did something which was not so passing. They shouldn't have been doing it. If he gets up and speaks about it directly, they know the rabbi knows and this. So number one, they know the rabbi knows. Number two, they resist because he's talking to them. Everybody who's speaking directly, when you speak directly to them, there's resistance. So what does he do? Avort from the parsha. Who's thinking? He doesn't know anything. He was pumped in this parsha. There was such a message. So the parsha is a way to reduce defense mechanisms. People don't resist as much because it's like saying, a funny thing happened to me today on the way to work. Like, I'm just, agav. I'm telling you. By the way, that's why humor is good in the classroom too. Because when you interdisperse, I didn't do too much tonight. I should have done more. When you interdisperse a little bit of humor, they don't take you as seriously. But that's a maila, because they don't feel as threatened. They say, ooh, yeah, let's, I think let's, okay, good. And the maila, the message sometimes can go in with less resistance. But anyway, so on the parsha. So what we did here is two things. On every parsha, as much as possible, two things. One is a vort on the parsha to be mechazek emunah. Just something to be mechazek emunah, a little vort, something on each parsha, that's something which can give a little chizuk. Now, it's not a lecture. It's not like I'm going to prove to you the Torah Min HaShemayim. The minute you say you're going to prove Torah Min HaShemayim, the kid is saying, oh no, you're not. That's the nature of the human beast. We resist. Proof is a dirty word. We don't want to be proved nothing. The only word that's dirtier than proof is truth. We don't want to face the truth. The truth is so limiting. Once you back me into the corner with the truth, I can't go anyplace. So we have to do it gently. Oh, there's a vort on the parsha. And then a few weeks later, there's another vort on the parsha. And even if you don't like the vertlach on the parsha, you'll make your own. But the idea of every once in a while giving, maybe to take home, depending on the level, depending on the grade, depending on what, maybe you have to translate it into Loshon Kodesh, whatever you do. But just the idea that there's an innocent thought which nobody feels too threatened by, which is mechazek emunah. The second thing is, as we mentioned earlier, we call it belief, benefits and belief. In the parsha, a benefit of a mitzvah. So that we get this message that the mitzvahs have benefits. There's something in it for me. We're in the what's in it for me immediately generation. So the what's in it for me, at least I see. And it's a very good format. It's something I think is worth taking home. If you don't like it, you could just put it in the bookcase with all the other books that you don't like to read. But I think it has some merit, and I think some people will find some things that they can appreciate. Okay, let's just talk for a few moments about, forgive me, I made a list of major goals for chinuch, and I want to give it out. And the last major goal that I list over here is review the goals regularly to assure maximum success at their achievement. These are not the final goals. Nobody's the final word. But at least it'll set the tone of we should have goals of our chinuch. I go into a classroom. I have certain goals I want to accomplish during the year. I think this is a wide range of chinuch goals. Some you may like, some you may agree, some you may disagree. That's fine. But it's the concept of having goals and reviewing the goals so that everything that I do works in that direction, I think is something very positive. So I would like to read them here with you, and then I'd like to maybe ask to do this to give this out. Just pass it. Three, one? Okay, I need to. All right, they may be not evenly divided. But please, do me a favor, Rabbi Yisai, please don't look at it until we finish, okay? unless you're at the number that I'm up to, okay? Because otherwise, there's no point in standing here. Okay, number one, okay? Guide our students to find true happiness as opposed to just pleasure in a life committed to Torah and mitzvahs by inspiring an appreciation of the lasting benefits in this world of learning Torah and performing mitzvahs. I think we discussed that this evening. That's a goal that should be recurring. Two, guide our students, including through the examples of Parsha Shavuot, to strengthen the understanding of truth of Torah, Nisina, and benefits. We just mentioned that. Number three, we did not discuss about Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a very important discussion. I hope that we will have another opportunity to do that. Okay. Guide Talmidim to develop a meaningful connection, our relationship with Hashem, through constantly pointing to Hashem's chesed, His love for us, His hashkocha protis in every aspect of our lives. This can be inspired through an appreciation for tefillah and bitochon. We touched on that a little bit. Help them have a context of what they are accomplishing in their religious lives. Give them to understand the purpose of creation, the role of Klal Yisrael, the context of Jewish history, and the relevance of them to their daily lives. This is something which is something that really requires some discussion. It's really not for now. There's not much time. But the idea of context is very... Once at a seminar, we did a number of many of these Arachim seminars over the years. And once at a seminar, there was a young man that was there, and he came, he was a frum person, but he came because he suffered a personal tragedy, and he came for chizuk. He was recommended to come for chizuk. So at the end of the seminar, he gets up and he says like this, I learned in the finest yeshivas. And he listed everything that he learned. And he said, but I never had a context with which to appreciate it. Says the seminar gave him a context. What's the purpose of creation? What's the purpose of Matan Torah? What are we doing? Why are we doing it? How does it all fit in? Where does Jewish history come in the system? How do things happen? What's the goal for the future? What role do we play in the present towards the future with the connection to the past? The broader picture, to some Talmidim, that picture is very, they can't just look at the narrow approach. They have to feel part of a greater master plan, something that has to be developed. I just suggest one, I'm sure many know that the Derech Hashem is very, very articulate when it comes to some of these issues that could be very, very helpful. Okay, reach each student with a respectful and caring relationship. We discussed that. Critical in the chinuch process. Recognize the individuality of each student, both in their personality and their unique potential for growth in Yiddishkeit, and communicate it with each of them. This was not discussed. I just want to share with you one idea very briefly. When Moshe Rabbeinu was informed that he is going to pass on, and he asked the Bir Yoylem for four things. He had a short list of four requests. And the first item on the short list was Vayemer Moshe El Hashem, Yifkoid Hashem Elokei Horuchos L'chol Bosor Ish Al Ha'edo. Zokt Rashi, Yivaisdois is bothered by Hashem Elokei Horuchos L'chol Bosor Mosvash Prachidos. So he says, Rebbeinu Shelolam, Goloi V'yodu Alefonecho, that each one is different. Appoint a leader, Sheyuchal Lizbol Kol Echod Ve'echod Lefi Da'atoi, who can tolerate each individual according to his own unique individuality. This was not for a classroom of 25 or 30 Talmidim. This was not for a Moisin of 100, 500, or 1,000 Talmidim. This is for a Klal Yisrael of a few million nefoshos. And the first requirement on the short list of requirements was to be able to deal with each one as an individual. Unfortunately, due to the success of our chinuch system, today we are far less capable of doing that. When the numbers were smaller, when we weren't so successful, when we had to beg to fill the few chairs that we had in the classroom of our moistis, there was much more individualization. Today, it's very difficult. It's very difficult for many reasons. There's also very much of a everybody should fit the same mold. We have to just be aware, and more can't be said right now, that the first requirement on the short list of Moshe Rabbeinu's requirements for a successor was the ability to be civil. It's a civil. It's much easier to do it without that. Much easier. Everybody fit the same mold, and that's it. But that's not what Torah leadership is about. Everybody's an individual. Kishem she'ein partzufeim doim ezoi lezoi, kachin deoiseim doim ezoi lezoi, and each one must be dealt with as an individual. Okay, next. Foster an environment of maximum validation, belief in your students with minimal criticism pressure that we discussed. Inspire the desire and provide opportunities for students to discuss personal issues and hashkofa questions. We didn't, but part of relationship is, if we have a good relationship with them, they'll feel free to come to us with their problems, and they'll feel free to bring up questions and discuss hashkofa issues, which can be very important. Okay, maintain a classroom environment exciting, challenging, and interactive learning that we did not get to discuss yet. Create an environment where students are comfortable asking questions. We didn't discuss that either. Carrying discipline with clear expectations, that's a whole sugi in itself. We did not go into that. Provide kosher opportunities for students' relaxation and fun in order to make living a Torah life enjoyable. We discussed that a little privately. They have to have, Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky was quoted all the time as saying, the Kinder dürfen spielen. They have to play, the children. There's little children, you know, a kleine Kinderlach and größere Kinderlach, and there's kleine Zoras and größere Zoras. But either way, they have to have some relaxation. They have to have other things they do, because if they don't have, and they're not the ultimate masmidim that can use every minute constructively, they will find destructive ways to use it unless we provide some constructive opportunities. Teach and consistently model the central role of midas in the Torah way of life and the lifelong goal of constantly refining midas. We didn't really discuss that. We discussed that the tachlis is midas, but there's more to discuss there. Be alert to recognize problems. We didn't go into that. Providing skills and tools. We didn't go into that. And review the goals. That's something that we mentioned. I would humbly suggest that these, certainly, I understand in the Israeli army, they would call a tachnit a basis l'shinui. This list of goals is a basis for change. Change them, get rid of the ones you don't like, put the other ones that you do. But I think the idea of having goals of chinuch and reviewing them constantly can be very, very helpful. Okay, I would just like to make sure that everybody take one of these. There's two boxes over here. I think it's worthwhile to look at. I really have to thank you. An amazing group, and your patience is not shy.